I can always sense there's a sweetness of the Lord in our presence because my glasses start to steam up and I haven't got any wipers on them to defog. But, you know, even just the lines that you sing almost generate something in our hearts of a sense of thankfulness to the Lord. I'm so thankful to Him. I wondered this morning if you could just maybe in a word describe how 2023 has been for you. I need input here. Maybe just in a word, not a paragraph. How's this year been for you? Even some of the youngsters. Has it been a good year? Got some nods here. How's this year been? Busy. Full. I like it. Changeable. Mixed. More intimate with Jesus. Any others? Okay, you've answered my thing, Ruth. Brilliant. Winner. I was going to then ask, can you describe how the Lord's been this year? That was the word, faithful. I was hoping someone might say the word busy. Someone might say the word tough. Has it been a tough 2023? I was trying to get this morning just a real quick thing of saying, alongside the toughness of our walk and the things that we're involved in, oh, He, our Lord, is faithful. Hasn't He been faithful this year? Can you say that? I generally am just so thankful that He's faithful even to the faithless. He's so loving. I was moved yesterday. I was shopping in Dunelm. Of all places you want to be shopping, in a busy place, in a busy time, I was in Dunelm looking at cushions yesterday. Does that really get you kind of... But I noticed something when I was walking with Helen. There was a young man, and I think he was probably with his younger brother, he needed extra care, and the younger brother was holding on, and his arm was wrapped around the older brother, and he was just walking him through the shop, and he came to the queue and was just there. And I think when the Lord does something in your life, He makes you quite almost sensitive to the things of what's going on, and my heart was so moved of the care of the older brother to the younger brother, because when I looked at the younger brother, I thought, there's everything socially in the world now that you'd be rejected. He would be rejected for this reason, for that reason, everything. And it really gripped me just in the queue at Dunelm of how the Lord is after and has given Himself for those people. In natural fact, we could all put ourselves in that position. We have been real down and outs in a sense. And it grabbed me yesterday, just in the queue at Dunelm. I wanted to go over to these two lads and wrap them up. I wanted to protect them. And I just thought, there's something the Lord wants to do that more and more, maybe in 2024. Maybe He wants His people, His church, to wrap up people. Wrap them up. It's all birthed in love. And it all flows from the Father. But I just wanted to, I was close to doing it in Dunelm, but don't ask me about the week before in Curry's, because I was having a real complaint in there. But we've got no cooker. Our heating packed up. Anyway, there was three things, but I was in Curry's, and yeah, Helen had to kind of like, I think we need to go. But yesterday, the Lord just did something in my heart. Was just, let's wrap these people up that have been socially scarred and pushed away in society. And this young lad holding on to his brother, just arm in arm. I thought, what a lovely picture of the Lord. Well, I just want only a few thoughts this morning. I wondered if we could just have the words up to the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Is that okay? Just the first verse. And in some ways, this is a gentle apology, but last Sunday you heard about the peace of God, which Phil shared about, and then the Sunday evening, I believe Nathan shared about the peace of God. So this morning is the trilogy, which is about the peace of God. So, and it's not been planned, and it's not been... So if I repeat something of Phil and Nathan, do forgive. But in some ways I think, well, the Lord's probably saying, repetition is good. Let's hear about the peace of God, and in particular, peace with God. I don't know about you, but I do not sense much peace at the moment. I know firsthand that we have people here, think of the John and Lindsay and family, that are in an element of a place of just total non-peace. I'm thinking about of our Ukrainian friends, our dear friends who are with us. They, in a sense, would know that there is not much peace in that land and nation. But I just want to read a couple bits from a hymn, Carol, that's just spoken to me, linked with some verses in Luke chapter 2. And it says, Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. I love this phrase, mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. This morning, just for a little bit, I want to talk about peace with God. Now, I don't see much peace around. When my work colleagues are at work and I'm talking to them, I can sense quite quickly they are not in a place of peace. If I turn on the television and watch something, I can sense that that thing or program or person is not in peace. You can sometimes find it even within church. You're chatting to someone and there's kind of this almost an anger, or there's something. The peace isn't there. And I just want to say that this is not, in some ways, just peace on a nation front from war, free from war. I'm not talking about that this morning. It's some other kind of peace that is deep, deep down in a person's heart. Let me just read this. This is in Luke. And Luke was very clever. At the beginning of his gospel, he said this: just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word had delivered to them, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account. Most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you are instructed. Luke, the physician, wrote this thing down and it was all accurate. So I'm going with Luke on this. Are you with me? Okay. Then he says in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we hear it so often, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You may have seen these phrases on Christmas cards, or, I don't know, box of chocolates, and then someone's put a little phrase like this on there. It's, a lot of people know it. The people I work with know this phrase. But in some ways, I'm trying to work out, is this really the case, that the Lord just wants peace on earth? And I've got to say, I'm unsure. Now, don't throw me out for being a heretic, okay? Just hold fast. Just turn with me to Luke. Same again. This is in chapter 12. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Now, do you see that in Christmas cards? And I've just questioned these things. You know, we read them, don't we? It's on cards, it's on television, adverts. You hear it spoken from word. But there's a sense that the Lord's speaking here about something so much more deeper. And it's right down in here. And it's this thing described by Charles Wesley in the carol that he wrote here. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. The only peace that we can have these days, in these days, is through the Son, Jesus Christ. Him who's reconciled us to God, man to God. That, for me, in the last few weeks, has been the thing that's really just kept me going. Isn't that amazing? We may be thinking, I know Phil mentioned it the other week, that we can try and find peace in activities. I think he mentioned yoga. Did you mention? Okay, I'll go for Pilates. But you can try and find it in all realms of things, but you'll not find it. The only true peace you'll find is coming to the Son, Jesus. And when you think about now, you're thinking that Christ being born, in actual fact, it's so true that the gospel comes through at this time of the season that we mustn't forget. Easter, Christmas, it's this wonderful gospel that so excites us and it's what we live by. Let me just read this scripture. This is in Isaiah, talking about peace. It says this. This is describing Jesus, okay, hundreds of years before. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Did you hear that? The chastisement for our peace was upon him. I know today you may have wanted a nice snowflakey message of it's Christmas Eve. What are you looking forward for your presents later on? And kids, please be excited. I don't want to ruin it for you. They will be some brilliant. But something in the reading about peace and understanding peace with God is it goes so much further deeper into the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. We can have peace with God. Isn't that amazing? How and why? Because of the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took it all to the cross. He took it all to the cross. Amazing. He was wounded for our transgressions. What is peace? I put in here the harmonized relationship between God and man accomplished through the gospel. 2024. Is it time for us to engage more and more with those people that are broken in society that we can actually say there is someone who can offer you peace, meaningful peace, and it's Jesus Christ? I want it for my work colleagues. You know, there's something described as a way of peace. I don't know if you've ever been with someone before and you've just been really impressed by them. You've had a conversation. Maybe it's a teacher or maybe it's someone who's come to visit you and they've gone away and then you're just chatting with someone and I've said it before and I said, you know, they just have a way about them. Have you ever used that phrase? They just have a way about them. And that's a positive thing. And I think peace is the same as that when I describe it. There's something about peace that just has a way about it that diffuses situations. And how we need this now in many lands that we represent here today. Oh, we need godly men and women that can diffuse things because they are in the way of peace. We need it in our communities that we work and live in. We need it in families. Earlier on in Luke, Jesus said about coming and he brings division in a sense. And he said he'll bring father against son, neighbour against, you know. And he's really talking about this thing in the inner parts that God wants us to come into a real place of deep peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in that harmonious relationship with the Lord? Are you today in that place? There is a way of peace that we can come into. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus. Now, I did a little bit of homework and I had a look at the popular carols that we sing these days. Now, can you tell me some popular carols, okay? Silent Night. Okay, can I just say, Silent Night has been Googled 45,000 times this month in this country. Okay, it's number one in the list of being Googled. I'm just illustrating something here. Actually, people are searching, I think, for something of a meaning of something in life. Okay, any other carols? Away in a Manger, number three on the list. It's been searched 21,000 times this month. Oh, Ken. Ken, I'm really sorry, Ken. I'm not going to make one up there, but that's... here we go. O little town of Bethlehem. Yes, that's number 9 on the list, 8,200 times this month. This was actually, I just was stumbled across, someone at work had a paper opened, okay, Daily Express. And I just, and it had this article about carols in it. And I was just intrigued as to what, you know, I don't know these people, whether they're Christian or not, but they're searching for carols at this time of the year, okay. And Hark the Herald Angels, the one I wanted to chat about, was on it, number 7. O come, O little town of Bethlehem was number 9. Good King Wenceslas, yeah, that's number 10. Joy to the World, number 6, and it goes on. But in a sense, it gave me this thing of people are searching. They still have this kind of thing they want to know about the truth. Anyway, that's a side issue, okay. Number 1 was Silent Night, for anyone. I was just thinking just a couple of little things about the Lord and like his different places where he kind of, at the moment we're talking about and we're celebrating the Lord Jesus coming as a babe. And I was thinking about the different ways he entered into this world in different scenarios. And like, who remembers where he entered at this time of year now? Now, kids, can you help me out? Where, in what place did Jesus arrive, okay, this time of year? Can you kind of name the actual location? And also, what was the kind of like, was it a nice 4-star hotel? No, where did he actually, okay, grown-ups as well, anyone? Yeah, what was the kind of, is it a cozy place, stable? Feeding trough? Yeah, okay, so basically the squalor. We sing that hymn, don't we, from the squalor of a borrowed manger. And I was thinking about the entry places of the Lord Jesus. He entered the King of the world, the Saviour, in the squalor of a manger. Now that to me shows there's a humbleness and a humility to our God. He also entered Jerusalem. He could have chosen a white horse that signifies victory, being a king on a horse, and he has great power. But how did he enter Jerusalem? A donkey. Would you say fairly common, fairly workmanlike, fairly another entry place? Now, I've just been really intrigued by the different entry places into... Now, what was the Lord's first miracle that's recorded? Water into wine. How come the King of the world basically did his first miracle to save someone's social awkwardness of actually running out of wine? Yes, linked. Very linked. Isn't that amazing? That the King of the world, in those three things that I've said there, you can sense a humility about our Saviour. That he was in that place of turning the water into wine, and he was basically could have gone. Most people, when they come and enter into something, they come in big style, don't they? They come in, and it's like for everyone to see, oh, our Lord did something so different. Came in a very low place, in the squalor of a manger. He entered Jerusalem just on a donkey. And then that third one, his first miracle. He wasn't making a huge, huge, big statement. It was all for the Father's glory. But he came and just turned the water into wine. Amazing. Here's a little quote. This is Billy Graham. He says this: Christ alone can bring lasting peace. Peace with God, peace among men and nations, peace within our hearts. Can you see all the order there? Oh, how we want peace in the world in certain places. God, when he talks about this, is about there's only peace and it's through the Son, it's coming to him first. Here's another quote. We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. Oh Lord, may we in 2024 know again the wonderful peace with God. Let me just finish with these verses here. It says this. We'll end here because of time. It says in Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And you, me included, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Oh, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There is hope. There is hope. I'm aware that there's many illnesses around at the moment. I'm just recovering from being pretty ill, and I know that there's people on Zoom this morning. And I always find that when there's illnesses, you do tend to have a little bit of a bit of melancholy for me anyway. I get a bit down a bit. You sometimes have to keep reading and persevere and know again there is hope. Jesus. There is hope. There's hope for our younger generation. In a world that profits nothing of peace. I think we sang something earlier on about the fury. Something raged against the fury, but there was the Prince of Peace. I may be wrong on that, but we sang something in one of the hymns. He is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace to a family. He can bring peace to your individual hearts this morning. He can bring peace to a nation if it turned to our God. And that gives me hope for 2024. It really does. Does it bring hope to you? You are allowed to verbalize any. But there is hope. I love Charles Wesley. You can't get away from how he describes it. But it says, peace on earth and mercy mild. And if you go into the next, can we go into the next verse? And the next one after. You know, he said earlier on, he says about mercy mild. And then he mentions it again, mild. He lays his glory by. You know, I see those, I link those two things there, mild in mercy, and also mildly he lays his glory by. And I was thinking, that's my Saviour. That's the one who entered on a donkey. That's the one that was born in just a manger, in squalor. That's the one that, for his first miracle, helped someone out who was in an embarrassment moment when the master of the feast would have been the one that was doing all the talking, and they would have been having the wine. It would have been a key moment. But in actual fact, Jesus was the master at that feast. He was the one at that feast. And he brings new life. Well, let's finish. I was thinking about that miracle, that amazing miracle of the water into wine. It was ceremonial water where they would wash before and after. Six pots of water, six, that's, I don't know, represents man, isn't it? Six, in a sense. The wine, I was thinking all of this last week about the wine and how, for me, it's a picture of the Lord's life and his blood being poured out. And that is new birth. In some ways, this morning it was about peace, but also there is new birth, there is life. I love that, how he represents that there. And he even talks to his mum and says, "Woman, don't bother me." And my mum's here this morning, and I would never say it like that to her. But Jesus was thinking about other things. He was thinking about things. The hour had not yet come. His thoughts were, I think of what was going to happen. And he said, woman, don't bother me. My time is not, the hour has not come. In a sense, it really helped me this week just thinking about there is new life in the blood. In Jesus Christ and him alone, there is peace with God. Can you get that? Even the young ones here this morning, the ones in the youth, in ages where the world will try and grab you this way and try and grab you that way, there is peace to be had with God, and it's a lovely peace. And I can describe it as it's a way of peace. You can have a way about you where you've had a touch from the Lord, and that can go into all of your places of work, your colleagues and families, oh, and they can sense it. There's a sweetness. We've sensed it this morning, haven't we? Precious Lord, should we just pray?